We're talking today with Michael Kelsey, Executive Vice President of Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Michael, days away, 2021 Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Convention, going to be a reality, going to be in person,
yes.
going to have a live event.
We are so excited. We're back down in Southmore, as we say, the Embassy Convention Center in Norman. It's just hard for me to say the N-word, Ron, but nonetheless, we're excited to be back at the Embassy.
They have you
Suite.
Too.
That's right. They do. Yeah. And listen, the folks at Embassy do a great job. They roll out the red carpet for us, and it's a super facility. We were down there just earlier this week talking with them to kind of do the final run through for each of the events and so forth. But we are very, very excited. The program is absolutely packed, and that's been our leaders and our goal for our convention, is to really kind of establish this as, you're in the cattle business in Oklahoma, we want to make this the event to come to. So there's over 12 educational opportunities, seminars. Some of them are very short, 30 minutes. Some of them are lengthy, an hour or so. There's obviously lots of public speaking from a presenter standpoint. We're going to have Jerry Bone, NCBA president there. A lot of guest speakers in that sense. The trade show is going to be packed, probably 120, give or take, trade show booths. So lots of opportunity there. And then just the hallway time for networking, for cattle producers to talk together, maybe do some business, who knows, but strike up some business partnerships, but also just encourage one another and sometimes cry on each other's shoulder a little bit too. And then obviously the policy making opportunity. This is one of two policy making opportunities for us as an association. And this one is no shortage of major issues that we're going to be talking about. So we are set for a great convention. Registration is up. We're excited about that. We're seeing that continue. So we're excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Interesting on the policy side is that a very unique opportunity this year. You're just in front of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, their cattle industry convention in August in Nashville. You'll be able to take maybe some policy out of the OCA meeting and carry it to Nashville fresh on your mind.
And I anticipate that happening, specific to live cattle cash trade, specifically negotiated cash trade. Our membership has been talking about that for a long time. And our task force, back in May, our board appointed three different task force. One of them was to work on this issue, to just bring the convention a starting point for policy discussion. Obviously, members make the policy, so they may take this and throw it completely out and do something themselves, or they may take it and modify it, but it's a starting point. But you're right. We'll flow right into NCBA in August in Nashville with that policy. I would also say the McGirt issue, the task force that was addressing that has a directive, a proposed directive to NCBA regarding tribal sovereignty issues. Oklahoma is not the only state, as we know, not the only state with tribal nations that are present. And so the McGirt issue may have more far-reaching implications than just Oklahoma. And so if the membership adopts this directive, it would ask NCBA to engage more actively on some of the tribal sovereignty issues on a federal basis. And obviously, as Oklahoma, we would be participating in that. But you're right. We're going to go right into Nashville. We've not had that opportunity before.
Right. McGirt, what's the conversation going to be like in Norman?
Yeah, the draft discussion that we're going to have is for members to start talking about is, most of the members that I've talked to, almost without exception, it's not a matter of us versus them. That's not what the issue is. The issue is the consistency of law. For over 100 years, we've been under Oklahoma law, and that we've built our businesses, we've built the ranch, whatever the beef cattle operation is, around that, from a tax policy, from a environmental regulation policy, all those types of implications of state law. McGirt has the ability to change that completely in some cases, depending upon who you talk to and how. Obviously, it's only for the Major Crimes Act right now, mm-hmm. but if it's carried forward, it could go into tax authority, environmental authority, all those types of things. And so what the draft says at this point in time is we prefer the way it was, simply because that's consistent. simply because that's consistent. But if it's not going to be that way, then we're going to ask our association, OCA in this case, to engage with the tribes, which we've already started to do, to try to have some consistency in law that's directly applicable to us. So think for a minute a cattle theft. Think regulation on farm and ranch spraying, pesticide, herbicide application, all those types of things. Mm-hmm. So if McGirt's going to stand, and by the way, there's another Supreme Court case or another case that's moving towards the Supreme Court that would be similar to McGirt. So the court may have an opportunity to rule again on this issue, and who knows what they may do. They may throw it out altogether. They may expand McGirt, or they may just strictly limit it to major crimes. We don't know, mm-hmm. Obviously, until it takes. But this puts us in action to work with the tribes to try to, again, achieve some consistency. That's what we're after, is consistency, no matter who may be in charge, if you will.
Past those two issues, I guess the other major work that you've done is on this marijuana situation in the state. And I know a lot of folks out in the country very concerned about what's going on.
Ron, I would say I have had more input from OCA members on marijuana than any other issue in my 25-year career in association work. And I don't say that lighthearted. I say that very seriously. This is a major concern issue for OCA members and Oklahoma agriculture in general. Our task force that has met has done a wonderful job. But at this point in time, we have 4 draft policies that have close to 16 different points to address. That's how far-reaching this issue is. I've kind of, in a fun way, kind of talked about as we've studied this issue, it's like you get a piece of old gristle in your mouth, and the more you chew, the bigger it gets. That's kind of how this issue for us has been. The more we've studied, the more we go, oh, we hadn't thought about that. We need to address that. Oh, hadn't thought about that. We really need to address that. This kind of started out as spray drift, access to my property, to control herbicide, obviously the ownership issue, who owns these facilities? That's a big issue. Private property rights, if my cattle go over on there, and so forth. Some of those types of issues have been very important. But again, as we've seen, this has just really grown to include a lot of different issues that are relative to cattle producers, mm-hmm. whether you're talking about utility, rural utilities, electricity and water, road construction, even abandonment. We've talked about what if the federal government legalizes recreational marijuana. Let's just what if for a minute. Mm-hmm. If they do that, and we know there's movement on the federal level to do that, then logic would tell you that these operations will move to the people for 2 reasons. Number one, because that's where people are, the clientele, mm-hmm. and number two, labor. Most of the labor that we're seeing on these commercial operations in Oklahoma are not Oklahomans. They're being brought in. And so why bring the labor in when you can go to the labor? So what that sets up is some of these 20-acre, 40-acre grow facilities could be just abandoned. Well, what happens then? Is there cleanup established? How long is that land abandoned before it goes back in or could go back into productive to pay taxes for the local economy, such as schools? And so all those types of questions need to be answered. And we need to be thinking about that now rather than waiting until later. So I anticipate a lot of discussion on marijuana at our meeting upcoming. And Ron, I would have never thought that we would ever have this type of discussion over this issue in my career. But here we are.
Right. Yep. Those 3 things alone. I mean, are you going to have enough time for business?
We're sure going to try. We're going to have a lot of discussion, and we're really setting it up to try to be as efficient as possible, obviously, because people's time is valuable. But at the same time, we need and want to hear from our members. And so our leadership has said, we'll take the time we need. We've established that on Friday afternoon, so we back into the reception if we need to, so we're not cutting a speaker off or something along those lines. But we want to hear from members, and we want to make sure we're addressing members' needs. But and those are just 3. Who knows? We may have a member bring another issue as well. And if they do, we'll address it and we'll talk about it and move forward.
You know, mentioned obviously the camaraderie, the networking, an important component of this that's really grown is your trade show.
Yes.
And I know that you've got great support there, but that's a really a good resource for producers to come.
It really is. The products and services that are available, the new technologies, it's just overwhelming to walk through the trade show. And some of it is aesthetic in value, you know, in terms of clothing and fences and barns and some of the, but obviously those have need as well. But there's a lot of services that are provided, whether it be estate planning or marketing of cattle, those types of things. And then just the new technologies, whether it be animal health related, nutrition related, or equipment related as well. So, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. The trade show really is a great opportunity for producers to explore, to ask questions, to kind of find out, and then even as they're walking around, talk with their neighbors. Hey, have you tried that? Yeah, I have. It worked really well. Great. I may try that. Oh, it didn't work very well for me. Well, why not? And so forth. So it's a great opportunity. We're very excited, very blessed to have that many vendors that are willing to come and share their services and products.
More details. Go to okcattleman.org. They've got the agenda online. You can register on site at the Embassy Suites in Norman. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.